read in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 17. And taking as our text the words of verse 15 and 16. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." Amen. Our friends, in trying to prepare for this morning's service, you understand that it had to be done somewhat in anticipation. I suppose, I trust, with a measure of faith, our communion arrangements, you know, were not what we had expected. The Lord knew from the start who would be here and what would be said, what would be preached upon, and what impact it would have. And so, even though I didn't know what text the men would be preaching on or how we would get on in that regard, there was every reason to expect that there would be much to be thankful for come the Monday morning. And I do believe indeed, friends, that is the case. Very much so. And thankfulness is a hallmark of grace. Spiritual thankfulness is not by any means a constant in the life of the Christian. It is not always the experience of the Christian. But spiritual thankfulness is only the experience of the Christian. No one else has it. No one who is not a Christian can be thankful to the Lord for the spiritual blessings of the gospel. It is something that only true forgiven souls know about. And that makes it a very suitable matter for us to stir ourselves up to this morning. And surely, dear friends here, I can attract you today, if you like, to the exercise of the sweet grace of the Spirit in your own life, in your own heart and soul, and to be thankful. Perhaps indeed for some of you who are here, the presence of a hearty thankfulness in your soul for the communion season that we have had, the fact that you know you are truly brimming over with thankfulness to the Lord, that presence of thankfulness can be used to trace back the work of the Lord in a heart and to give assurance of salvation to those who have it, showing that if you are thankful for the communion season, then there is grace and mercy in your life, truly. So then, I want to move on to the thankfulness of the one leper in 10 that is before us here in Luke 17. Now, we know, of course, the record of this miracle. We know that Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem. He's passing through Galilee and Samaria. He comes to a certain village, and 10 lepers stand afar off, but they lift up their voices so as to be heard and to cry to the Lord for mercy. And Jesus issues a command to them that they should go and make for the priests and show themselves to the priests according to the law of Moses and according to the law of leprosy. And they are to go in obedience to the command of Christ. And as they go in obedience to that command, they are all cleansed perfectly. One of them turns back and comes back to Christ and glorifies God for this healing, falling down at the feet of Jesus to worship. And he, of course, was a Samaritan. It's perhaps one of the best known expressions in the New Testament of thankfulness. The thankfulness of this one cleansed leper, the Samaritan. And so we turn to look at it under a number of different headings. I think we have seven headings to try to cover this morning. First of all, I want to say that thankfulness has a cause. Thankfulness has a cause. We can begin with what is very wonderful here today, though it is also very plain and simple. This man was thankful because he was healed. There was a cause to his thankfulness. His leprosy simply disappeared along the way as he walked with his nine companions toward the priests. Can you imagine this company of 10 lepers? They are outcasts of society and been told by Jesus to head to the priest, and they're walking together, having heard the command. I wonder which of was the first one of them to notice that they were cleansed. Did they feel it in themselves, or did they see it first? Did they see it in themselves, or did they see it in another? Did one notice it first, another one? You don't have the leprosy over your face that you used to have. And then they all begin to check themselves, and they discover the miracle has happened as they were walking along. We don't know how it happened. We can speculate in that way. But we know they were all healed, all 10. Now, all 10 of them had reason and cause then for thankfulness. All 10 of them had cause for thankfulness. But only one man expresses it. But his expression of it, he had good grounds for thankfulness. He was justified in being thankful. He was vindicated. He was expressing something very solid and real and important. And thankfulness, you see, is not, as it seemed to be thought by the nine, an optional extra. It is not a tagged on matter that we may or may not find the time for on a Monday of communion. It is rather the only proper follow on from receiving spiritual blessing. It is the only proper response to having been given spiritual gifts. And to follow on the analogy, if you like, of the leper, thankfulness is only right for the forgiven soul, and surely only right for the believer. After the sweet sacrament of bread and wine, surely thankfulness, we can say, there is a cause. And we ought not let even just the separation of a few hours since yesterday morning inhibit us in this. You know, perhaps there was a particular sense of thankfulness that bubbles up in the heart, that bubbles up in the soul, as you were sat, many of you, at the Lord's table yesterday, as you were being passed the bread by your brother or sister in Christ beside you, and then the cup commonly shared amongst us, passed round pew by pew. You were given the elements of the body and blood of Christ. You partook it. Was there not the rising of thankfulness in your heart? And we are here then today, friends, at this service, and we have every cause for a day of thanksgiving after a communion. We are not deluding ourselves into imagining there was some kind of blessing yesterday, something to be thankful for, but it's just an illusion, just a mirage. No, We're not just here to go through some kind of formality because that's what the Monday is for. We are absolutely warranted. After the weekend that we have enjoyed, surely, in expressing ourselves heart and soul to the Father and the Son and the Spirit with thankfulness to them for their goodness to us. And indeed, as we said, perhaps some of you may even be able to trace back from a spirit of thankfulness that you experienced today and see that if you are thankful for these blessings, then you truly have something to be thankful for in spiritual terms. Even the taking away of your leprosy of sin. And so, this thankfulness has a cause. But we must move on. Secondly, thankfulness, notice, it can leapfrog other duties. Thankfulness. Notice, they'd all been told, go and show yourselves to the priests. But this one man seems to be overwhelmed with the blessing he has received and has been healed from his leprosy. So much so, he, as it were, postpones the command to go to the priests, and he rushes back to Jesus to give this wonderful expression of thanks that is here. Now, it's an interesting point, I think. I should say some of the commentators, some of them differ on this. Some of them think that he would first have gone to the priests in obedience to the command and then have rushed back to the Saviour. That may be the case, but I don't think it is the natural reading of our text. It is when he saw he was healed, he turned back. So says the 15th verse. So, the point here is not very complex, and nor will it be very long. It's just that thankfulness has a way of jumping to the front of the queue. The queue of things that we had wanted to do in obedience to Christ, in response to Christ, in response to his goodness to us. And it, thankfulness particularly tends to jump the queue, as it were, when it is particularly spontaneous and heartfelt and sincere, when it is not felt as a duty or a burden, but when it is just what you absolutely want to do. You probably remember times when you were a child or with your own children, and after a very joyful birthday, the parent will say to the child, now you have to write thank you cards. All a child wants to do is play with the toys that they received, the gifts that are there. And the thankfulness is something of a burden, something of an enforced action, a chore. And even spiritual thanks, we can sometimes treat it as if it is a chore. It's what we know we should do after the blessing of a communion. But really, we had the climax, of course, at the sacrament. And, well, the Monday can feel a little bit of an add-on, a little bit of an extra. We can find ourselves entering into the Monday without the joy of thankfulness that we did have at the time as we received the blessings. But hopefully this weekend, friends, has been such that rather we are lifted up, rather we've been eager now to get to this day so that we can express our thankfulness. The Monday should be not a downward, as it were, of itself, but rather, oh, that I might get to it now. I wouldn't have wanted to rush past the Sabbath and the sacrament to get to the Monday, but having had the Sabbath, oh, that I might have a thanksgiving now. And so we can express our thanks to the Lord and join in yet again in what we delight in the worship of our Saviour. And that then takes us just to our third point about the how. How do we express our thankfulness? And so our third point, should be a little bit longer, is thankfulness is worship. Thankfulness is worship. This man came and glorified God, falling down at the feet of Jesus and giving him thanks. The whole demeanor, the physical attitude of this man is an expression of worship. Everything about it tells you he is worshiping. He is bowed down before Jesus. He is using his voice publicly, openly to worship God. His face is in the ground before the Saviour. He is profusely thanking Jesus again and again for his act of mercy, for his deliverance, for his blessing. And the way it is put there indicates in our text that it is an ongoing action. He fell on his face. That's something that happens a one-off. Giving him thanks, that is something that is an extended action. And all that was right and proper. That was the correct response. But it wasn't done because it was the correct response. It was hearty. It was just a very natural outpouring, a spontaneous return. We know it is a good thing that he has done, because what he has done is commended by Jesus. Indeed, Jesus rather queries why 9 of the other lepers have not come and done likewise. But I want to keep our focus on this point on what he does to express his thanks. He worships. And friends, consider these past days. Consider the services given to us from the Thursday through to yesterday, from Mr. MacLeod, from Mr. Woods, and from Mr. Fraser. The searching of the Thursday, the uplifting and the encouragement of the Friday, the preparation of the Saturday, the glory of Christ in the sacrament on the Lord's Day, the seeking for Christ on the Sabbath evening. Consider the fellowships and the conversations you have had, and the prayerful preparation of private preparations before you came. Consider the whole of the communion season. You have to thank the Lord for that. And are we not bursting with desire to thank him? You know he has blessed you wonderfully, personally, reassuringly blessed you. Perhaps even, wouldn't it be wonderful if someone here could say, savingly blessed in these days? How can you express that thankfulness then? Well, you express it best in worship. That's why it's not just a day of thanksgiving, but there are services appointed for the day of thanksgiving. Because worship is the best expression of thankfulness of heart. And by being here today, friends, make use of this worship and the evening worship as outlets for the thankfulness of heart. Make use of the means. Use the psalms that they might lift up your voice and capture that spirit that is in your soul. The psalms are so apt for that and chosen on a day like today to serve that purpose. Make use of the Bible, that you might hear more of what the Lord has to say to you. Make use of the sermon to apply the truth of the word into your life. Make use of the prayers to add hearty amens to the petitions and desires offered as if they were your very own. Use the worship as a means of expressing the thankfulness that ought to be in our heart, and indeed surely, we say, is in our soul. And then come again tonight and do it all over again at the evening service. Let's be like this man and keep it going. Let's be giving him thanks, not just as a nice incident, but as an ongoing extended action. Let's fill the day with thankfulness to the Lord. And then what do we do when the Monday of the communion comes round? What do we do next? Friend, come again to the very next diet of worship that's appointed in the congregation. Come to the prayer meeting and carry on worshipping him. And make sure you're there again on Sabbath morning and again on Sabbath evening. Come to the diets of worship, because that's the best way. If you are thankful for what he has done, never be absent. Make every use of all the means of grace that you can. If you want to show him that you are indeed thankful for these days and attend diligently and faithfully to the service of worship. Thankfulness is worship. And we can say a little bit more about that in this area and think about our own attitude of thankfulness, how we go about expressing it. And that takes us to our fourth point, which is thankfulness is humble. Thankfulness is worship, but then also thankfulness is humble. This man has his face pressed up against the feet of Jesus, who has walked a long way through Galilee and Samaria. He has his face pressed down into the dust of the road. And the humility of this man is evident and noticeable. Now, I want to notice the kind of humility. We often think of humility as being unassuming and quiet and even shy. And we say, that man's very shy. He's a very humble man. He's very shy. And there's an attraction in that. But if you look at this man, he's loud. And he's making a spectacle of himself. He is seen. But he didn't care. And that's where you see his humility. He thought so little of himself. He didn't care what he looked like to others. He didn't care that his face was in the dirt. He didn't care that it was next to the feet of Jesus, or what anyone else thought of him, or what they were making of him, or what they were talking about behind his back. He simply had to thank this Jesus who had healed him. Thankfulness is like that. It doesn't care about self. It's not putting self forward, but it's not either caring about your respectability or how you appear to others or what others might be thinking. Humility is not about preserving your own dignity. Humility is about glorifying the Saviour, and whatever happens to yourself doesn't matter. Humility is not thinking about yourself at all, no matter what others will say of you, no matter what others will think of you. Who do they think they are going out to so many cells of the communion? Who do they think they are going out to a prayer meeting? What are they doing going to these places? Humility only cares that you're going to find Jesus so that you can thank him and thank him and thank him, and you don't care about anything else. Because you have to get back to Christ. Having had one experience of him, it's not enough. And this man's thankfulness, notice it didn't either get back to Jesus and then stand on the periphery. There was always a crowd around Jesus. There was his disciples following him, people gathered. He didn't stand on the edges and wait for a quiet moment and then go up and shake his hand politely and say, thank you very much. Sometime when no one else would notice, when the crowds have dispersed, have a quiet word. That's not what he does. His thankfulness could not be confined to privacy, to secrecy. It had to break out into a public adoration of the Saviour. It had to go that far. And is that not the thankfulness that we felt yesterday, both at the table and at the services, or in the preparatory services, or last night, that nothing would have been too much if the Lord would have asked it of you. Nothing would be too much to give. We wouldn't care what people thought of us if only we could continue to enjoy the blessing of Christ in these ways. We are going to thank the Lord for his great mercy and his kindness and love, for his giving of himself to death upon the cross, for the suffering he endured for us, for the washing away of our sins, and for the taking off of our guilt. Oh, we are ready to give him thanks. Humility, you see, doesn't care at all about preserving our own dignity. It is unashamed of Christ. Humility will open the door wide for us to publicly, fully worship Christ, because self doesn't matter. One of the commentators on this passage brought something that I'd never noticed before, but I thought it would be worth bringing it in and sharing it. He compared the thankfulness of this man with the cry for help when he was still a leper. And there's a sort of balance between the two, if you like. Look at verse 13. These 10 men, including this one, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." In other words, they are loudly calling with their voices raised for mercy, for healing. And then he went to verse 15, the words of our text. He said, with a loud voice, he is glorifying God. Notice the same voice that had loudly and earnestly sought for mercy, the same voice is now just as loudly glorifying God and worshipping Christ. You see, for this man, the need, the urgent need he had of being healed, it was matched, if you like, with the need he felt to give thanks for the healing. And that was a lovely thing to see. After the miracle, he'd been so publicly desperate for healing. Well, after they was healed, that was no time now for shyness and reserve to overtake you and overcome you. That's no time now for quietness, of a hiding of your light under a bushel. Dear friends, let us go out with joy from these services. Let us be revived and refreshed and reformed in our witness for Christ. Let us openly credit him with the miracle of grace in our lives. Whether it is a recent event or been decades since he did it, let us give him thanks as loudly and as earnestly as ever we sought him before we were converted. You who are the Lord, you who love the Lord, Christian, do you not remember the burden and the agonies of seeking the Lord, how you would have done anything to receive the assurance that your sins are forgiven, that you're accepted by Christ? Do you remember the crying for mercy? Well, with that same zeal, let us pursue thankfulness. With the same loud voice, let us own Christ and say, he has done all things well for me. Give him all the glory, and don't worry about yourself at all, because thankfulness can be humble and all the sweeter when it is. Fifth point, thankfulness is Christ-centered. This man is glorifying God loudly, but he's holding on to the feet of Jesus. He is bent with his face on the ground before Jesus. And oh, what an example of how to express our thanks. To hold the feet of Christ. To in every way say, Christ has done it. He's done it all. Everything that I have was given me. Everything I have was bought for me and paid for me by Christ's suffering. Everything I do, having done it all, I am an unprofitable servant. But everything he's done, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. The Lord has done it, and he did it for me. He did it all for me. He heard my cry. And I needed to be cleansed of the leprosy of my sin. He instructed me and told me how to be clear of the burden of my sin. He drew my corruptions to himself, clothed me with his own righteousness, gave me the new desires to be obedient to his will, gave me the strength to follow his command, released me from the sentence of death, of sin in my soul and body, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. He did it. He did it all. You see how Christ-centered is the praise of this poor, cleansed leper. How wonderfully liberated is his spirit to adore and worship the Saviour. Let this spirit rise and thrive in your soul, dear friends. Come near to Christ. Come near and come often to Christ and tell him. And tell him again and tell him again and again what he has done for your soul. And give him no rest in it. Let your voice thanking him be the first thing he hears in the morning. Let your bowed heart be what he sees at his feet, as it were, each day. Why is thankfulness so Christ-centered, do you think? Because thankfulness cannot get over the goodness of Jesus to me. Just can't get over it. Thankfulness can't quite believe that it's all true. Thankfulness does a lot of blinking, as it were. Blinking to check and to see, are my eyes deceiving me? Are the eyes of my soul deceiving me? We're pinching ourselves. We're like the disciples when they saw Jesus alive and risen. They believed not for joy. It's a strange kind of expression, that, isn't it? But you get the sense of it. It's not that they were cast in unbelief and they were faithless, but it seems to be rather that they'd hit the buffers. They were at the limits of their faith and they didn't know how to express belief in this wonder that is before their very eyes that they can't deny, but they're having trouble just wrapping the arms of their faith around it. The arms of their faith is not long enough for something so wonderful, and so it is with Christ. We get to the boundaries of our capacities with Christ, and there's more of Christ to hold. And we sort of have to fall back into the sheer joy and wonder. Open mouth, that is goodness, that he should save a wretch like me. Thankfulness. Dear friends, yes, thankfulness is a truly Christ-centered act for a saved sinner. It's Christ-centered. But then sixthly, we have to say this also. Thankfulness is rare, even exceptional. Because we have a note of caution that is here, and Jesus is the one who highlights it for us, and so we give it heed. 9 out of 10 never came to give him thanks. Thankfulness is rare, even exceptional. We were thinking at the fencing yesterday, Mr. Fraser led us to consider Judas Iscariot. And that makes us tremble. I think everyone sitting at the table, we knew that pang of fear as our tendermost fear, as it were, has put its finger upon it. And we feel the wound of the bruise of the fear of Amaya Judas. But even there with Judas, 11 of the disciples are disciples. True. And there's one Judas. 1 in 12 failed, as it were. But here, 9 in 10. Only one came in to give thanks. They'd all cried loudly for mercy. They'd all been obedient to the command and started heading towards the priest. They'd all started that obedient walk. And presumably the other 9 were even now at the priest showing off their purified bodies. But thankfulness is a rarer grace than it ought to be. It is sweet, but it can be alarmingly rare. Dear friends, what I'm saying to you, I'm saying first of all to myself. I don't want to be like the nine after a commune weekend. I don't want to take the blessing and then just go on my way as if nothing else has happened. As if Christ is some sort of spiritual vending machine that we just receive from and that's all. I want to turn again and give thanks. But how often have I just taken the blessing? How often have I just gone on and gone away? I'm left my Saviour as we're standing there, wondering why I didn't turn, why I didn't go back. So we pray, O my Saviour, help me to be thankful. Thankful to Jesus, glorifying to Jesus for all his gifts. We can help each other in this. You see, it must have been quite hard. Wouldn't it have been easier for this man if at least some of the other nine had come with him? Wouldn't that have been easier? Couldn't they have helped him? Imagine being the only one to turn back. Imagine the others saying, oh, no, we were told we had to go to the priest, so we're just going to carry on going. Let's help one another. Let's us strengthen our bonds in the Lord in our thankfulness to the Lord for these days. Because wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if not 1 in 10 of us, but 10 in 10 of us were thankful and expressed that thankfulness? Wouldn't that be wonderful? If all of us together joined arm in arm, said, I'm going to give thanks, come with me. Oh, I'm going too. You're not going without me. And all the love that the Lord has shown in us in recent days, if we were to give him thanks. But just to complete the point, as it were, though that would be wonderful, don't let anybody else hold you back. Better to go alone and leave the other nine and not to go at all. Even if no one else will go with you, you make sure that you do. Thankfulness is rare and it is exceptional. And all the more so because this man was a Samaritan. A Samaritan. And that's the punchline, if you like, at the end of this record, at the end of this account. The Samaritan returned to give thanks. Why is that important? Because he was the last one you would have expected. And maybe again, that's you. The last one that anyone expects. But that's fine. Christ is waiting for you. As he was waiting for that Samaritan, you come anyway. And then seventhly, finally, thankfulness is blessed all the more. We hear at verse 19, Jesus said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, the man was so full of joy and so aware of the blessing, he had to come and thank Jesus. But what we discover and what he discovered is that even though he thought, I am so full up, I have to go, I am just bursting at the seams with blessing, I am compelled to go to Christ and thank him, he found that in going to Christ to thank him, Jesus found room to add in more blessing to the man. More assurance, more comfort, more truth. And that is so often the way. returning to Jesus to thank him for the last blessing that he gave you is a sure way and a sweet way to receive the next blessing that he's going to give you. Let this be the chain of the habit of your life, dear soul. Never break the link that is here established. For every blessing you are given, return to give thanks to the Lord for that blessing. And in returning to give thanks, will your Savior not be looking out for you? Will he not be ready with his hands full for the next blessing he's going to give you? And having received that next blessing, return to him and give thanks, and he will be again be there, smiling to see you and ready with another blessing for your soul. Is he going to send you away empty-handed? No. Is he going to say, oh, here is one who is coming to me. Here is one who is giving me thanks for the last blessing. Well, I'll send them on their way then. Not our Saviour. He says, arise, go thy way, yes. But thy faith has made thee whole. What assurance that man left with. How glad he was he went back again. May that be how we enjoy and spend our final day of our communion season, with the blessing of Jesus ringing in our ears, arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole. May he bless his word. Let us pray.